Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hello, and welcome back to The Follow-Up Podcast.
Hello, hello.
Pastor Crystal here with Pastor Sean.
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Or good evening.
Or good evening. Or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could be wherever you find yourself listening to this podcast.
It's true. I'm drinking Diet Coke today.
Ooh, Diet Coke. So you're trying something a little different.
I'm going way different.
Okay. I've just, you know, the normal coffee.
Last dregs of your morning
coffee. Yeah, it's probably some grounds in there. I really wanted to go to Starbucks this morning, but you know what? I have coffee in my cup.
And way to practice discipline.
Thank you. Thank you. So it'll probably happen later, but
it's okay.
Yeah, because the desire doesn't actually go away. It just gets delayed.
That's another podcast.
Yes, it is.
So. Well, we're back with more questions. We just finished our 2-week series, Unsure, which was on doubt.
Yeah.
And so we've got some good questions today from you all.
Yeah. Hard
questions.
Questions today. Yeah. And it. Yeah, I was like, can we like phone a friend?
Right.
Can we call in the expert today? Because they're great questions and they're difficult. And so I don't know that we'll have any answers today, but at least we can process a little bit.
Yeah. As I was looking at them, I was thinking about how, you know, we're going to respond to these questions from, you know, unique places that we're at and our own faith journeys and the things that we've walked through. And so I kind of just was thinking of a preface that, you know, where we have landed on some of this stuff, it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even 5 years ago, I would have answered these questions a little bit different. And so just, you know, grace for you as you're listening to this and knowing, hey, I'm not quite there yet, but also being willing to hear, you know, a different perspective maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it takes a long time to process through some of this stuff, especially when it comes to doubt and our own unique experiences. And so I just wanted to preface it, like,
totally,
we're coming from, you know, unique things that we've walked through, and God's brought us to specific places, and we're all in different spots in our journey. So
I think I mentioned on Sunday that, you know, when everything's going great, you know, and there really isn't anybody that doubts, you know, like, because we feel good about everything, but it's when life is hard and when the pain is real and when we can't make sense of the circumstances, that's when doubt is present, right? And so it's just recognizing, I think, that by and large, like, the hardest doubt is when we're wrestling with hard things and when the pain is near, you know, and when the questions are, you know, not just theoretical, but they're, you know, they're personal.
Yeah.
And so, And so that's, I love the preface and this, you know, we don't want to give just like trite kind of answers. And it's a tough balance, I think, as pastors, right? That we want to speak to what's true and recognize that circumstances sometimes make it difficult to receive.
Yeah.
That, you know, just kind of blatant truth,
right?
And so learning to hold those things, so
maybe tuck it away in your pocket
for
a future time if you're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the first question is, if all things are possible for one who believes, why does God not heal our children when we bring them to Him? Is it our fault or because of doubt? And then the second, you know, follow up to that is just, how do we keep our faith when God doesn't heal?
You know, sometimes I don't like Jesus's words. Right. You know, so the statement in the scripture, right, from Mark 9, one you preached, right, Jesus, you know, says all things are possible for the one who believes. And what do we do with that, right? When the reality of our lives is like, I feel like I believe, and yet I've got all these things that Jesus hasn't done. And then it even more so, right, when it comes to our kids, yeah, and when we see our kids suffering, or all the unjust, kids who have cancer or terminal diseases, or die too young, and all those things, right, that are unjust and not representative of God's goodness and God's ultimate, I think, grace and plan for our lives. And so, yeah, how do we wrestle with that in our present reality? And I don't know that, again, like the simple answer, I don't think is necessarily helpful. I think for me, as one who hasn't necessarily experienced like that personally in my own life, know people who have, but to just jump to the, like, is it our fault or because of doubt? Like, that feels pretty easy to me. I think it's neither. It's not your fault, and it's not because of our doubt. I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and maybe I'll let you kind of talk a little bit about just kind of brokenness in general. But one of the things for me that I go to is that, like, we serve a God who suffers, yeah, who suffers with, right, who his own son, right, so he experienced the loss of a child, right, experienced the pain and suffering of that. And so I don't know if it makes it better, but in some ways it says, hey, we have a God who is with us, mm-hmm, and with us in all of it, right? So experiences the suffering, experiences the pain. Jesus isn't rescued from the cross, right? In that moment, he has, I was reading somewhere that on the cross is when Jesus becomes an atheist. It's this weird idea about, like, God, my God, where are you? Like, why have you forsaken me? Like, God is absent in the pain and suffering of the cross, at least in that moment. Yeah. We know that's not true, like, as we see the big picture. But in that moment, right, there's this picture of God, why would you?
Yeah, very what? Human.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we always, we get to see that picture from the full, scope of Scripture, right? And still, even though we're still waiting the ultimate, like, culmination of that. But when we're in the midst of our own, like, God, why aren't you healing my child? We see, I think, such a small, yep, small picture, because that's human.
Yep.
Right. And so, I don't know if you want to add to.
No, I just think what you said there at the end was what I was thinking about, in terms of, we have just a very finite view of things, and it's really, like, one dimensional. Mm-hmm. And, God is eternal, and our lives, like, carry on after this life, and when we can see with a different lens and recognize that there's a bigger picture here, mm-hmm, that our story isn't just it, right? Like, mm-hmm, there's so much more to that, and the generations that come, behind us, and what God's doing on an eternal landscape. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to fathom that. And it's hard for us to find ourselves within that. But if we can kind of pull back a little bit and, get that higher view and recognize we can't always know what's coming. We can't know what God might be doing down the road. And sometimes the things that we think, like, oh, please take this from me, or please, stop this, they end up leading to something that, was in his plan, that, gosh, we're like, man, I'm so glad I didn't get, what I thought was best for me.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing, especially when you're talking about your kids, right? Because you're like, well, this is what's best. And so I recognize that, but I also know that we have to have a bigger picture and a bigger understanding of what God's doing on the grander scale of things. And so many years ago, I read something about how we have to thank God for all things, because we don't know what's good and what's not good. Like, we don't always know. So we give thanks in everything, because he knows ultimately what's best for us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the things that we want to protect ourselves from and protect our kids from, actually, lead to some of the deeper things that God's doing in their life and the eternal things. But it's hard. It's hard to, like, especially when you're thinking about your kids and being like, these are the just innocent, you know, people. Why, you know, why can't you just fix this? It doesn't feel like that big of a deal for you just to fix this.
Right.
And again, that's where that wrestle piece comes in and the willingness to say, I don't understand this. I don't get why this is happening. And I'm just going to choose to trust you because ultimately, you know, like you said, like, what other choice do we have?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. And even, you know, when you go to maybe like the terminal stuff or the things that, like, with our kids that, you know, I'm not talking about like a difficult circumstance, more like, hey, this will probably never change, right? My kid will deal with this their whole lives, or, you know, their life is likely going to be cut short, right? Like, yeah, how do we hold that? And again, grateful, I think, to have the scriptures that allow for, you know, anger at God and frustration and questioning. And in those spaces, again, not being one who has journeyed in that, right? But in those spaces, like, how do I continue to faith my doubt, right? How do I continue to faith my anger, or, you know, like, direct that stuff towards God? And I think as you said, like, in that, God helps us to begin to see that, like, this world is not all there is, right? So I think when Jesus says, you know, all things are possible for one who believes, Jesus always has in mind the kingdom, right? And so, you know, he has the, you know, the unique ability to live in both the reality of the kingdom and the reality of the world at the same time, right? And so what is that? We, you know, that's something that we have to live by faith, that there is a kingdom that is already and that is coming, where scripture says, you know, all things are made new, like, all the suffering is, like, made up for, and, you know, no more tears, no more crying, you know, no more injustice. And so that is really kind of the compass for our faith, if I can say it that way. Like, we, our faith is in Jesus, who said he's going to do something, right? So it's the Hebrews passage, right? And that it's the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. And so, like, my faith is that, God, one day you'll make this right. And it's not right now. And I can, you know, lament, and I can curse, and I can do all the things about why it's not right now. And shake my fist at you. And I think that's okay. Like, I think that there's a space that, like, that is faith, right? That is, I am faithing all of my emotions in that space. And so doubt would have us turn our back on God. And this is your idea of, like, the doorstop, right? Of keeping it open or keeping the door closed, is that, if we're not careful, like, then we're left with nothing. Right? We're left with a void that gives no reason for, or no hope of restoration for, like, my kid who, you know, I lost too soon, or who's going to have a lifetime of, you know, whatever. And so if I'm left with no hope, you know, and no, like, if my doubt closes me off to the reality that God will one day make it right. And it may not be in my physical, like, but he will one day make it right. Like, that's the challenge of faith. Is that, yes, like, we read in the scripture, like, it happened right now. Like, Jesus, like, we want you to do those things right now, just like you did then. And I can't answer that question, right? In terms of, like, why does God not do that right now? I think he maybe does. Like, we hear stories. It hasn't happened to me, like, personally. Right. Like, I've never, you know, but... so when the hardest part of faith really is, like, God, can I persevere in faith to realize that all things are possible because you are making all things new again, and that one day it will be all made right. And so, man, that's so challenging, though. But I think that's the reality of, like, you know, how do we keep our faith when God doesn't heal, right? That kind of that question is we keep faithing that like yeah. that question, right? Yeah. And how do I, like, what other meat for me is like, what other option do I have but to keep wrestling with God in that? Otherwise, you know, you go completely, you know, nihilistic, right? And that it's like, we're all, you know, everything's all going to hell anyway. And so like, you know, you know, why not just do whatever you want to do and, you know, kind of survival of the fittest idea in that space. So,
yeah, I think that last question there, how do we keep our faith when God doesn't heal? You know, just speaking from like my own personal experience of God not healing when I asked him to, and, you know, again, this has taken years of wrestling with this. So again, just want to preface that, but sometimes those spaces are where God does the most work. Mm-hmm. And so when we are asking for healing and God is not answering that specific prayer of healing, again, that can either be a place where our growth is stunted, or it can be a place of immense and deep growth. If we allow it, it's, you know, the thorn in the side. And, you know, that weakness is what brought him closer to God. And our desperate need for God to heal us and for God to answer, that is what drives us to our knees. That's what drives us to depend on him more. And it can be a space where ultimately God does something even deeper than we could have expected or imagined because of not finding healing.
Sure.
And I know that that's tough to swallow. And again, a couple of years ago, you asked me this question and I would be in a totally different place. But my lack of healing in certain areas in my life, it keeps me dependent. And it has brought me to a deeper place in my just overall spiritual life and my walk with Christ, and the opportunity then to kind of share that with other people. And would I wanted to go through all of it? No. Do I still want healing? Yeah. I'm still praying for it, but I'm also not letting that be something that closes me off, but allowing it to be like this deeper space that where God gets the glory in that, and God gets to use that in a way that, you know, ultimately again is about an eternal perspective and eternal things that I just can't see.
Yeah. Would you say that is also true when it's not like, it's not happening to me, like my physical like body, but to somebody that I love, that I'm watching, like how, like, yeah, I guess that's kind of what I'm wrestling with there.
I think, because you're still dealing with your own grief of watching somebody suffer. And that, again, can either, that's your own wound, right? Like you're carrying a wound of, it's empathy, it's love, it's grief for what's happening to somebody else. And that can turn into its own wound that needs healing. And so you're watching somebody suffer, and you can again allow that to drive you closer to God and dependence, or away from him. And we get to choose. And it's a whole heck of a lot harder, I think, to let that, you know, turn us away. Like, again, we're just left with what?
Yeah.
Like, what hope do we have? What's the downside of just choosing to trust and believe and that God has you even in the midst of it?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me grateful in some ways that the scripture is like full of suffering.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's everywhere in there, you know, because it's the reality of the human experience and the brokenness of the world, which maybe kind of leads us to the last question.
Yeah, it does. Another just good, hard question that I think, you know, you spoke to this on Sunday too in your sermon of like, hey, I might not doubt that God's real, but I might doubt his work in the world. So question, or just preface it, when good things happen, we are to attribute it to a loving God. And when bad things happen, we are told we can't or don't understand God's workings or his greater plan. If we have faith, things will work out, but they often don't. Besides obedience, which you discussed in the sermon, what other practical steps would you recommend to help us experience and see God's presence in our lives?
It's a great question. So good. Yeah, I mean, there's a that's loaded because there's a bunch of questions within that, right? And so, like, the first one of the first things that comes to mind when I, especially, like, you know, when good things happen, like, yay, God, you're amazing. When bad things happen, like, don't blame God for that. And so one of the things that, again, there's like full like theology of suffering and pain and that we can't get into today, but like C.S. Lewis does a good job of like unpacking some of that stuff. You know, some other, you have another one?
Yeah. I was just thinking of Brian Zan's book, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God.
Oh yeah. That's a good one too. Yeah. And there was one that we went to a conference and he spoke, he lost his,
Ken Shigematsu.
Is that the one where he lost his, his, family in a, I don't think car it's, accident. I don't think it's Ken. I think it's a different one. Yeah, but see if you can look it up while I'm talking.
Okay.
But, I was thinking about this idea of, what does God allow versus what the, what does God cause? And again, that's like a philosophy. But we see that in a world where God allows pain and suffering, right? And does that mean that God caused it? And are those, you know, is that really just parsing kind of the, you know, the thread a little bit? But I was wrestling with that part of like, can I say that, that God allowed something and still believe that God is loving and God is good? And that scripture says that every good and perfect gift, you know, comes down from the Father. And so can I attribute, the good things that happen in the world to God and then ask, why God allows, pain and suffering as well? You know, and maybe don't have to, say God caused those things. I think you have to consider the whole picture of who God is, who scripture ultimately says, what is the heart of God? You know, and that God cannot, what's the scripture that, that says, like God is faithful. He can't not be faithful. It's who he is. You know, loving and compassionate and forgiving to a, you know, to a thousand generations. But there's the reality of living in a broken world where God won't, you know, cross the boundary of our free will. And so, I don't know, I think you maybe got some thoughts around, did you find the book?
I do. I just want to say, I mean, Ken Shigematsu has good books too, but it's A Grace Disguised. He has a couple ones, but it's by Jerry Sitzer.
That's what it is.
And he has a couple, there's like a follow-up to it, but again, another good book on suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking of, you know, yes, to everything you said, and we have to remember that God created everything good. Like, go back to the beginning, Genesis, not just the world, but humans were created in his image and good. And then it's when that sin entered the picture, when, you know, question of, is this enough, you know, are you enough for me, and it broke the relationship between humanity, between God and humanity, between humanity and the rest of the created world, and that's when the brokenness happened. And so yes, everything good is from God, because that's how it was, how it began,
because God is good.
And so when we say something like, when good things happen, we are to attribute it to loving God, because that's how it was intended. And then when bad things happen, that's the results and the reality that we live in because of the brokenness. And like you said, the free will piece, that we have agency, and God, you know, we said, I think a few podcasts ago, that God's not going to force himself on you. That's not love. And so we live within the reality of a broken world and yet a good God. And so when good things happen, we're seeing the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And that's what we pray for. And that's what we long for, while also recognizing that that's not fully realized yet.
I don't know that, like, again, our attempts to, I think, try and make sense of everything, right? We talked a little bit on Sunday about, like our desire for certainty.
Yeah.
Right. And when certainty becomes an idol, then that doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask questions, mm-hmm. right? Or we shouldn't like try to learn or like, so it, please don't hear like that. It means yeah. like, well, it's just whatever it is. That's yeah. just the way it is. You know, like, you know, I grew up in the days of, you know, well, the Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. Right. You know, like don't use your brain, like not allowed. That's not what yeah. I'm saying. But you know, the scripture does tell us like there are things that are beyond our understanding, right? Isaiah talks about like, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so there is this transcendence of God that transcends our limit, our finiteness, like our limited ability to fully understand. And so I think at some point, like we have to recognize that, yeah, we can mine the depths, you know, and we can go down. But we ultimately can't reach the end, right? Because God is beyond us. Yeah. And so we have to keep God transcendent. If we are to keep him God,
yeah.
right. And so I think we go on that journey of questioning or doubting and realizing that I'm probably never going to ultimately land, you know, once I feel comfortable yep. that I've landed at a solution, right. I probably haven't gone far enough.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I love about people, who have journeyed with God for a long time. So I'm like talking to people who have lived a long life mm-hmm. and journeyed with God for a long life, in an authentic relationship with him, you tend to see this growing humility, yeah. right. And this growing sense of, wonder and bigness in their heart. Yeah, yeah, because you know they've done it long enough where they've, you know, their convictions, so to speak, mm-hmm. have fallen away.
Yeah.
And just realizing that God is bigger and wider and gooder,
yeah.
yeah, more loving than, you know, than they ever thought, even in the midst yeah. of the suffering and the pain. And I just go back to just this idea that God is not, so we are not deists, right? God is not just kind of out there separated from the realities of the human experience. God is intimately involved in our lives. And God suffers, right? That God feels pain. God, you know, experiences the things that we experience. And so so we serve and love a God who knows and just isn't, you know, standing back, you know, hoping for the best or somehow like a, you know, a puppeteer, like, yeah. you know, managing all the realities, in the world. And so I think just to kind of maybe hit that next part, like obedience puts us in a position to see God at work. Right. And so, you know, so that is a very practical step of like, hey, I have to step out in faith to see God at work. One of the other pieces for me, just getting like really practical of how do you help us experience and see God's presence in our lives, is to get out of your cultural context, mm-hmm. right? And so like we live, you know, in a very specific, you know, space and place and experience God sometimes through the filter of our, you know, all the things that we have and all the ways we see the world. And so one of the most valuable experiences, I think, for the believer is to go to a different country,
yep.
To see how God works in the midst of suffering,
yeah.
right? Like true suffering,
true suffering,
you know, and so to experience those things so that your, not only is your worldview expanded, but your understanding of who God is and how God works is expanded, right? And I think this is very human to limit how God works to how God has worked in my life, mm-hmm. right? That's just how God works, like yeah. as if like God is limited by our, but that's just our mind and yeah. our hearts and our emotions. And so like how do I get myself in proximity to people who have a different life experience than me, and especially a different cultural experience than me. And again, this is why I think the scriptures are so consistent in, being with the poor
yeah.
and the needy, because that's, you know, we tend to want to equate God with all the things that make our life easy. And so whereas the poor show us that God is actually present in the suffering, yeah. God is actually present in the lack, and the people who literally have to depend on God for everything. That for me is probably the best way to kind of break down some of the mental models that we create around how God works and helps us wrestle with some of those questions. And that's also why, like, we mentioned some of the books and some of the things that the best people to speak to suffering are those who have experienced it mm-hmm. and come out the other side yeah. of it. And not without their wounds and not yeah. without the scars and things like that. We talked about Mother Teresa on yeah. Sunday, right? It's this, in the midst of serving the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India, right? She still has her own yeah. Wrestles, but this is where to draw into this, because this is where God was, right? And so I think getting ourselves outside of our experience, at least once in your life, yeah. where you can get in proximity with those who suffer is invaluable. And they're not, you don't necessarily have to go across the seas to do that, so figuring out ways to do that in your context, but there is something valuable about a different cultural experience of, with a different people group, and the ways that they experience God in the midst of their reality. So I don't know if you got something yeah. to add to that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I mean, I've experienced that myself, and you can't really know and understand it until you've done it. And it's so much bigger, and God's so much bigger than we could ever imagine. And that, I think other practical pieces, we are really good at seeing the bad things and pointing out the things that are going wrong mm-hmm. and practicing noticing little things, where God's at work. And maybe it's just something so silly, but the more you begin to pay attention and maybe even writing it down, this happened today, or I saw mm-hmm. this happen, and just deciding everything good I see, I'm going to decide that I believe that that's from God. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to take notice of that. And the more you do that, and the more you practice that, the easier it is to begin to see those things. And then we begin to preemptively see them, mm-hmm. Sometimes now it's after the fact, I see how God was in that. But the more we begin to notice it, that can happen sometimes in the middle of something.
Yeah.
And we can be like, God's working right here, right now. I see it. I'm recognizing it. And then we just become more sensitive, I think, to where the Spirit is at work. And not that then everything's like, this is all great, but yeah. we just are capable of noticing even in the hard spaces mm-hmm. where God might be at work.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I guess just two quick things before we wrap it up. As you were talking, I was thinking about, C.S. Lewis says that pain is God's megaphone. Mm-hmm. As he whispers, to us in our, our comfort, but he speaks loudly in our pain. And I would say that is true of both personally in our pain and in when we come alongside people in their yeah. pain, that we tend to want to avoid that, but pain is God's megaphone. It's how he gets our attention and where he speaks most clearly. So again, C.S. Lewis books, and then Brian Zahn, which you mentioned, he's got a little saying, he says, beauty will save the world. Mm-hmm. And this idea that how do we look for beauty in the world, even in, the small things of creation, and the things that we don't often notice in people and in nature and things like that, and learning to train our eyes, not to not see what's mm-hmm. ugly. The cross was ugly, but it was the most beautiful thing. Right. And so we have to begin to see God in the midst and the beauty in the midst of pain and suffering, which sounds really weird. Right. Yep. but this is reality of the thing God uses to save the world is perhaps the most ugly thing. And how do we begin to see, ask God to help us see that in the midst of all that. And so, maybe just two kind of ideas for you as you move on with your day. But could pain be God's megaphone in your life? And God, could you give me eyes to see your beauty, and even in the midst of suffering? So. Yeah.
And if you have questions about books or you want more follow up, let us know. We'd love mm-hmm. to resource you with that kind of stuff and have more conversations around it mm-hmm. because we're still figuring it out too.
And for sure,
facing our own doubts. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the questions too. The vulnerability to ask a hard question. Yeah. And again, you know, we started this, but we recognize that people carry, you know, hard things for themselves and for their kids, for our world. And so we don't take that lightly, right? Recognizing that, those things are heavy burdens. And yet we have a God who loves us and who meets us in those needs and can carry us in those spaces, even when we feel like maybe God is absent.
Yeah.
And so if that's you today, you're listening, just know that we feel that and we hold that close. And so pray that you're encouraged today and encouraged to faith those things towards God and to remember that it's a journey, right? Yeah. And that even you said, like, if you asked me 2 or 3 years ago, like, and so our hope and our prayer, I guess, for you is that might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might not be a year from now. But as you continue to keep your feet pointed towards God, even in the hard stuff, that maybe in 5, 10, 20 years, you have the kind of faith that is deep and rich and probably deeper and richer than those who didn't take that kind of journey of fire.
Right.
They take. So, because I just want a word of encouragement if you're listening today and in the midst of that kind of suffering.
Right. Thanks again for the questions. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with some more.
Yeah, so, back next week. New sermon series starting on Sunday. So not quite as heavy as this. So
that's good. Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.